And this is episode 58 of the Guardian Project podcast. I'm your host, Andy, and I am the land you've held for five turns trying to bluff a removal spell.
Okay.
It sometimes works. It always and I works. Really like when it works.
It works against me.
Yes, it sure does.
And I am your co-host, Mike Coyle. And did you know, Andy, that there's only one thing that can respond to split second? That's a mana ability. And that brings about the phrase, Ash, not today. I'm going to alter your plan.
Please listen carefully.
And that's how much I hate split second. I will make that bad of a joke.
You could respond with, right, morph. Doesn't use a stack.
That's true.
Doesn't use a stack.
That's true.
And this is the podcast where we talk about all things Magic the Gathering.
But mostly Commander.
Before we start, thank you to all of our patrons. We appreciate all your support. We really enjoy making content for you and for everyone. If you would like to join the community of I was gonna say like the family of brands, but that's Johnson and Johnson, right? Okay. Aren't they the family company?
They are. They Johnson Johnson is the family company. That is very true.
If you would like to join our family,
our Guardian Project family,
if you would like to be part of the project, the Guardian Project, please feel free to support us at patreon.com/guardianprojectpod. You can donate at any dollar amount. And we do have a couple of patrons now that have been donating, and we're going to be reaching out to get summaries for Commander of the Week. If you would like your commander to be featured as Commander of the Week, it's one of our tiers. So stay tuned. We are going to have some commanders that are not ours featured very soon.
Yes. And as a disclaimer, joining the Guardian Project podcast does not ensure that you will be put into the Simic morphing stage. We don't control that 100%. So we can only put in a good word.
You might get a crab claw or just one wing.
Yeah.
I hope you get the crab claw.
I want on the same side. One crab claw and a wing on the same
so
side
you
of
fly
your body.
All funky.
Yeah. You're not flying, let's be honest here.
You're spinning in a circle like that, like one of those like whirly birds.
Yes, with a crab claw. If you're looking for any other way to support the podcast, there's some really easy ways. There's some free ways. If you could drop a like, a comment, subscribe, whatever way you're listening to the podcast, if you're watching on YouTube, listening on Spotify, really appreciate the feedback, really appreciate the support. And then we also have a TCG player affiliate link located on our website. If you want to head on over to www.guardianprojectpodcast.com, you can find that link, and you can also find all of our content. We have YouTube videos. We do our streaming every Thursday right now. So we upload YouTube videos weekly on Sundays.
Yes, they're scheduled for Sundays now.
So if you want to watch us live, you can watch us on twitch.tv/atflory on Thursday nights at 8 Eastern. And you can check out our YouTube channel, again, through our website, www.guardianprojectpodcast.com. If you could subscribe to there as well, that way we can get like a manageable URL once we have a correct amount of subscribers. Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah.
So please do that.
And we should also start, I don't know why we haven't been doing it, we should probably also post the affiliate link in the show notes below. Oh. So it'll be much easier.
We're going to do that.
Like literally have it, mm-hmm. and we just don't. So we're going to have that. And also the Commander of the Week going forward. Those are also going to be in the show notes going Woo-hoo! Forward. So for those of you that are like, I'm not on Twitter, you can just easily click these links.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Why have we been making it so difficult on some people?
We want to find the technical people who can go through the wormhole.
Yes. So what are we talking about this week?
So this week, actually this past weekend, Andy and I participated in a Commander family reunion. So we're going to talk about that a little bit and our experience at amazing, amazing event. We're going to talk about some of the Double Masters spoilers, the reprints, the ones that we think are great for Commander, you know, maybe make some staples more affordable or more blingy. And then our main topic for today, we're going to talk about Commander misplays. So, you know, how the format does with misplays, you know, the social aspect. We're going to go over a bunch of that stuff. And then we're going to have Commander of the Week as a pet project of mine I've been working on for like 5 months. I finally got two games in with it. This is my Zurgo Helm Smasher theme deck as General Grievous's Separatist Army.
And if you know Star Wars,
you understood that.
If you don't, Coyle will explain more later.
For sure.
So this past weekend, you mentioned we were part of the Commander Creator Family Reunion Weekend. So it was July 17th through the 19th. It was at twitch.tv/CommanderFamilyReunion. We played some Commander games. They had some videos on how-tos to set up streaming, to set up gameplay for Paper Commander, on content creation, what we've learned, how we can do better. And we were invited by folks from Commander 99 who reached out to us. So we got to start off the weekend playing a game with CNC Power Hour and MTG Mudsta. Mm-hmm. So that was really fun.
It was awesome.
Unfortunately, we did find out yesterday, maybe it was yesterday or the day before, our video file from that game actually is not recoverable. So the video itself is not going to make it online of our game. I was doing really well. Yeah. I figured we could talk a little bit about sure. that, but as soon as everything is posted online, we'll share links. But there is a lot of useful content. Also how to set up your webcams and how to use mm-hmm. OBS, which I will tell you, when you're trying to figure that out on your own, there were not a ton of how-to videos to set up. Mm-mm. I mean, there are some, but not for, you know, getting your special magic emotes or getting all right. these items. And when you're trying to figure it out, it was not the easiest. And I'm looking forward to being able to refer back to some of those videos. Mm-hmm. I know CNC Power Hour was doing a video on that, so check them out. But in that game, I played Sigarda, Heron's Grace, Tribal Humans. And what'd you play again?
I played Otrini, Mutate, Power Down Slightly.
Yes. And then we played against Agami Nest Warden and Horde of Notions Elemental mm-hmm. Tribal. So MTG Mudsta played Tribal Elemental, and Chris from CNC Power Hour played Gavi. So as the Selesnya deck doesn't normally do, I was able to draw a lot of cards mm-hmm. off of both. I didn't draw a single card off the Mentor of the Meek, but I did have Vanquisher's Banner, and I don't know. I probably drew like 6 or 7 cards that game.
I think it's arguable that you drew more cards than the cycle deck.
It is entirely possible that happened, and I think I became a threat on turn 5. Mm-hmm. And Twitch chat was like, never would have assumed the Selesnya deck would have been the arch enemy here. Mm-hmm. I gained so much life
yeah.
that was cut down real fast because of a Yarok with the Omnath Locus of the Royal.
Yes.
Doubling it.
Oh, yeah.
Making me go from, I feel like it was 62 to 12.
That's correct.
I think those were the exact numbers because I think I took 54.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah, I remember Andrew, MTG Mudsta, kept saying to me, you got this, right, Coyle? You're going to take care of Andy? You're going to do this? And I'm like, I have an unblockable 6/6 and he's gaining 30 life a turn. I don't know what you want me to do, but I don't have an answer.
I did not get my win con, but it was very fun. So
it was awesome. And the I guess since the video is not going to be up, the Gavi Nest Warden deck by Chris was actually the winner.
Yes. Of that pot. So yes, Gavi Nest Warden did win. It was so funny because today our main topic is Commander misplays. And I figured we could talk about a play that Andrew from MTG Mudsta was talking to Chris. So Chris was playing a deck that had Astral Slide so he could blink things. Mm-hmm. And MTG Mudsta had played a Risen Reef and made 17 elementals and then thought and didn't realize that you couldn't stop the Risen Reef. It's either you put the land on the battlefield or you don't reveal it and you put it in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up decking himself in that game. That's how he was out. Mm-hmm. So that not one person saw that coming.
No.
But the Gavi Nest Warden player was bouncing things, and MTG Mudsta said, if you hadn't done it the way you did it, you actually had us all dead on that turn. And mm-hmm. so I didn't see what he was even talking about when I realized if they had blinked the... what's the green creature that had him draw cards for each green creature he controls? Shoot, when it enters, it's
not Regal Force.
Is no,
Soul. It's not Soul of the Heart. Is Soul of the Heart?
No, it might be Regal Force.
Was it Regal? Man, I mean, Regal Force. It does have that ability.
It was Regal Force. Okay. Yeah, when it enters, you draw a card for each green creature you control. Mm-hmm. So if he had bounced the Regal Force, Mudsta would have drawn out. And then the damage from Mudsta that was coming at you and me would have basically killed us. And mm-hmm. then he also had a card that when you blink, you can pay extra and like shock a permanent or a target. And then he would have just had to do that like once to kill you.
Yep.
But he saved me, which was nice. I didn't come back from it because I didn't have enough life to gain life back. But that was the misplay. If you wanted to argue it was a misplay, but the Gabby Nestwerden deck still won.
Still won.
So not a misplay.
They were just doing it in a more conservative fashion.
I was actually happy to be able to take two extra turns. And when I got that final turn, my mouth was just open. I was like, the fact that I am untapping right now, I should not be here. Whoever is watching over me right now.
Oh, yeah.
So that game was great. Unfortunately, you won't see it, but hopefully we can recreate that in the future.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was the Commander reunion weekend. And then Double Masters. So Double Masters preview started this week. So we had seen a few cards from Double Masters. It's a format that, or I'm sorry, it's a set that is going to be very good. Looks so far pretty good for the Commander format.
Yeah. Yeah, is you know premium set for anyone who wants to like bling stuff out. There's going to be some alternate arts coming out that they've already announced a bunch of them. I think there's been looks like 18 of the extended borderless cards already released. They all look pretty sweet. Jace the Mind Sculptor is the only
Maybe
one
I'll
that
own
didn't
a
get
Jace
a new
the
art.
Mind Sculptor, finally.
Finally.
I just don't own one.
I agree.
I don't know if it's that good, but I feel like I'm not part of the club because I've never even held one.
There are decks that love it, and there are decks that you could go, why are you playing that?
Why are you using it? I feel like you need it for your Rolas deck just because.
I do.
Out of...
It's a... The only like super good EDH deck that I even know that Jace goes into is the new Kefnet, the War of the Spark Kefnet, because you can cast a card without putting it into your graveyard, and Jace has a Brainstorm for zero. So
yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of cards that have been previewed so far, even in just the last 3 days. We're just going to talk about a few that we think are good, at least for the Commander format. Now the price of the set is pretty pricey, so I personally don't plan on buying sealed product. Coil, though, this is a product that's right up his alley.
Yep.
So I know you're gonna buy some, so we'll probably draft that, and then you'll have lots of singles that you can play with. But one card that I'm really excited to see another reprint, and this is a very controversial card, is my good old Cyclonic Rift, which also has a really, really awesome new art.
Sick.
And it's definitely an is it art like in a lab.
Oh,
it's really great. So my wallet is sad, but my heart says yes.
I have no problem with the card. I know the community tends to not like it very much.
Did you know that the card actually only costs 2 mana?
The converted mana cost of the card is 2 CMC.
And I think I cast it for 2 90% of the time. So I think that in our playgroup, most people are not upset about Cyclonic Rift. No. I don't think I've ever been mad because most people don't wait till they have 7.
No.
In our playgroup, because it's like, there's that one threat, it needs to go.
Yeah. Take it out.
There's some that say, this is a 7 CMC card, and it shouldn't be played at 2. I disagree.
Yeah. I know... just one fun interaction, the uncommon Chandra that they printed in M20 that has the minus where you can cast a card as long as the CMC is 3 or less from your graveyard. You can target Cyclonic Rift and cast it for its overload cost with that triggered ability, or with that activated ability.
You heard it here, folks.
You can do it. I was told by a judge once that I couldn't, and then I asked another judge and they said, nope, he's wrong. You can. You can do it.
Well, and of course, we listen to the one that
we always only listen to that one.
Oh no! Yeah, so I'm excited about Cyclonic Rift.
Yeah, I really love Doubling Season reprint happening again. This is the original art for the Doubling Season. This is not the Battle Bond art for Doubling Season.
That's not a new reprint. We've known about Doubling Season for a long time.
I'm still excited for it. You're right. I mean, this was one of the original cards that they announced when they said, you know, Double Masters, Doubling Season. There you go. But yeah, I mean, it's the same thing. You can, and I guess I'll just cover Mana Crypt is the other one that was announced a while ago. Both of them hopefully will go down in price a little bit more than they already have. and become more affordable staples for our format.
Yeah, I'm excited. A card that's not super expensive, but obviously expensive is relative. Mm-hmm. If a card, at least for me, I don't know if we've ever really talked about it. If the card starts to hit $10 or more, it's pricey.
Yeah.
Because if you need to buy like 30 cards, that's expensive.
It is.
So Arkham Dagson is one of those cards where not every deck needs it, but if you have it and it fits that deck, it's really good. So Arkham Dagson is a 2/2 that you can tap an artifact, target artifact creature's controller sacrifices the artifact creature, and you can search your library for a non-creature artifact and just put it onto the battlefield. Mm-hmm. So that's really fun. It used to be really crazy with Paradox Engine, but it's still just a really good card.
Absolutely.
So I'm excited to see that again.
Yeah. One other card I am really excited to see, and it might be underwhelming for a lot of people, but the fact that it has new legendary border, and it will be hopefully a little bit cheaper, and there's still potential for it to get an alternate art, Skitherix, the Blight Dragon.
Yeah, I don't own one. This is one of those cards where I feel like if I had it, I'd use it, but if you don't have it, it's not necessary, but it's cool.
I definitely need a copy for my Otremi Mutate deck so that I can mutate on top of Skitherix. Skitherix, aka Skittles, flying 4/4 Infect. We can see that Infect is kind of a theme here. We have a Blightsteel Colossus in Skitherix and Atraxa to help proliferate the Infect counters.
Vampire Hexmage cares about counters, but alongside Vampire Hexmage, we've got Thespian Stage and Dark Depths, so that's kind of scary for the limited format. But,
very cool.
I've never had a Dark Depths either. I thought about putting that in my Noyandar Lands deck, but I feel like that is doing a little bit too much for what the Noyandar deck wants, because I'd feel really bad if I animated that and then it died before I got to remove the rest of the counters.
True.
But and it looks like we might see some swords. This is exciting because Sword of War and Peace was previewed. If we get the other swords, that would be really nice. Because
the ones that are like really expensive.
I used to have all the swords.
Yeah.
And then I traded all the swords to Coil.
Yeah, I made SRAM.
You made SRAM and then took apart SRAM, but you kept the swords, right?
Yeah.
Most of all of them?
They're all in Zergo.
Oh, they're all in Zergo. Okay.
Yep.
I just don't have them now. Mm-hmm. And if they were reprinted and the price came down a smidge, I might pick them up again because I don't have an equipment deck and I could build another equipment deck with something.
Absolutely.
It seems really cool. So I'm happy for those.
And of course I have to talk about my
namesake. I feel like that was like Thanksgiving. And for that, I'm thankful. And
for that, I'm thankful. And of course I have to talk about my namesake card. You know, they're printing Worm Coil Engine. I believe this is the third time this card is being printed. And it's getting a sweet alternate art, which to be fair, looks a little bit more bio than it does mech. You know, it's got some life to it, if you will. Interested to see if the tokens are going to follow suit and be like a special artwork for the tokens, or if they're going to go for the original artwork for the tokens. Obviously, the original artwork for Worm Coil Engine is being printed in the regular set, and the borderless is only being printed in the box topper and the VIP booster. And then I know it's not a commander thing, but I do it in commander and they're reprinting Tron lands. So
you do that in commander. It was so funny because none of us saw it coming. And, but the new Tron lands, have you seen the full panoramic
of beautiful
that, or panorama?
Panorama.
Panorama. Mm-hmm. With Karn at the end. It's like, huh?
Yeah.
I like that card. I plan on using it, but it does look like Mr. Freeze.
So the artist for that card is actually owning his art really well right now. And his profile picture is the head for the new Karn and everything. And
is it Mark Teden?
I think so. I think that's correct. Yeah, it is. And I think his answer was like, look, Karn opened his mouth. That means he's happy. He's leaving this place, this Phyrexia, so he can finally get out of here.
Yeah, so those are a few of our favorite cards that we've seen. There's also a new product that was announced alongside Double Masters, which is the Double Masters VIP edition. Mm-hmm. So Double Masters VIP edition is going to be a little bit different. So it will contain two foil borderless cards from a selection of 40 different box toppers, or the promo versions.
Yep.
Each of them was selected because they represented some sort of the most played cards from Commander, Legacy, Modern, and Pioneer. Mm-hmm. So they said, taking a look at these list of cards, you'll see some high impact picks that either unlock new decks for players to build or upgrade existing decks. The contents are two borderless cards, only found in VIP edition, cards with a rare symbol will appear twice as often as cards with a mythic symbol. So that was actually an update, so we'll go over that in a minute. Mm-hmm. Two foil rares or mythic rares, 8 foil uncommons, 9 foil commons, 10 full art basics only found in VIP edition, 2 of each, 2 foil full art basic lands only found in VIP edition, 2 randomly selected from among 10, and then 2 foil tokens, again, only in VIP edition, tokens on both sides. So these appear to be about $100 for a pack.
Mm-hmm.
So these are a little pricier. If you are really into, you know, opening those really cool packs, this is definitely the product for you. The full arts that you've seen so far, I know that we've got what, Expedition Map. It looks like Blightsteel Colossus, Atraxa, and Mana Crypt, Kalia of the Vast, and they're going to be previewing some more.
Yes.
That can fall into this spot.
Yes. And if you are confused about which box toppers you can find where, because there's a box topper for the booster box, and then there's these quote unquote box toppers that are printed at this extended border slot in VIP, you we'll be getting non-foil cards in the box topper and the booster box, and you'll be receiving the foil borderless in VIP. So if you're looking for the foil borderless, you're not going to be able to find them in a normal booster box. And these borderless cards are not available in normal booster packs for this product. This product has been pretty clouded. You know, there's been
some changes made recently in the communications.
Yeah, I would call it miscommunication. Things that we knew were going to happen, you know, the box topper was going to be a rare and mythic card. Well, it turns out that some cards were upshifted to rare to get into that borderless slot.
Yeah, similar to what the Cultivate from Core 21. There's the rare full or extended border Cultivate that was in a rare slot when mm-hmm. it was in uncommon in the other slot.
Yeah. In Ultimate Masters, we had Eternal Witness printed in the box topper, which people weren't upset about because it's a great commander staple.
Yeah.
So, you know, amongst this miscommunication was the disparity between mythic and rare in the box topper slot. So it was told today from Magic's Twitter that yes, they are going to be updating their article. Rares will be printed in the box topper slot twice as often as the mythics. When they do say rare, they do mean all of the cards that were upshifted to rare, as well as just the rare cards. So your Urzalands, your Expedition Maps, and then like your cards like Exploration. I mean, there's some really good rares in this set too. Those are going to be printed twice as often as mythic rare, making this, you know, maybe like a double miscommunication. And that was the joke that I told Andy I wanted to tell on the ride over.
To be fair, though, I think the artwork on these cards, you're not going to be disappointed.
No?
They're going to be pricey regardless because they're only coming in foil in this version. Mm-hmm. So,
and actually, I was asking our group the other day, what's the disparity going to be between non-foil versions of these cards versus foil versions of these cards? I imagine, you know, booster boxes, they're only coming with two, and a VIP pack is coming with two. But I figure there's probably going to be more VIP packs that get opened than booster boxes. Not sure. And not shared amongst people, you know, like a booster box open, yeah, you're going to draft it or something. And but with a VIP pack, I mean, you're opening it and keeping it yourself.
Right.
So I'm not really sure if the prices are going to be even all that different because the scarcity might be equal.
Do you know that I'm VIP?
You are?
Yeah, I'm very into Pauper.
Oh, are you now?
So far, that's what we've seen with Double Masters. Tweet at us with your favorites, and we'll see obviously more throughout this week and next week.
Yes.
So the main topic this week is Commander misplays.
Yes.
So is it really a misplay in Commander? It's a social format, so we wanted to talk about misplays, and obviously we have our own perspective on misplays.
Mm-hmm.
That's coming based solely on our own experience in the game. And I make misplays real often.
All the time. The stack's complicated, guys.
It really is. And also you learn things about cards that you've been playing for a long time. And now that we have some judges that are in our play group, mm-hmm. often they'll go, yeah, it doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess I played that wrong for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
So we broke it into a few different categories. So the first one we're going to talk about is Commander misplays, because Commander is a social format. Right. So you make misplays because you are hanging out with friends, mm-hmm. and it's not a competitive format in all instances. And you're not trying to win at all costs. Right. You're just hanging out with your friends. So my first point here is that not every play has to be optimal. Sometimes you just go for the fun play. But the funny thing is you always say there's a smart play and there's a fun play. And then everybody always says, go for the fun play. No one ever says go for the smart play.
No, not unless the game's been going on for 2 hours and that smart play is about to end the game.
Yes.
Yeah. Then they're going to go, just kill me already.
You always play your, in my tribal deck, Riders of Gavinia, name some stupid creature type.
Oh, you mean like elementals?
Yeah, or eyeballs. Yeah. Well, that I did name elementals.
Name elementals to the guy who's about to have 20 elementals on board next turn.
Yeah, yeah.
Scary.
But you can name eyeballs or you unicorns and maybe have protection from one creature.
That's true.
Yeah, so I would say you can make misplays because you're not playing optimally and mm-hmm. you're just hanging out, eating snacks, maybe having a couple drinks with friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that I probably misplay the most because I was just talking for 5 minutes.
Sure.
And just forgot what you did on your turn. Mm-hmm. And I'll make my play and go, cool, I'm going to do this now. Oh, okay. Well, I don't care, I guess.
Right.
In most cases, I don't care happens.
Exactly.
Move on.
Yeah. I know. And a very, very, very common misplay you see all the time is people going, oh, can I take that land back and put this land? And, you know, there's, as long as the person hasn't drawn a card, as long as their hand hasn't changed in the last 2 seconds, let them do it.
Go
it doesn't
for
change
it.
Anything. All you're doing is you're actually getting extra knowledge about their hand.
Yep.
However, I do sometimes have an issue if like someone has drawn a card and then they go, oh, can I play this other land instead? And I have to ask them, like, did the card you just drew make you want to change that? Because then I don't know if I would allow that person to take that move back.
Sure.
But that would be like the only instance. Now, we do participate in Commander Leagues.
Yes.
And, you know, we do play for money on those ones. And that might be a situation, unless I'm running away with it, it might be a situation where I don't point out a mistake to someone until after the game.
As long as it doesn't break the rules of the format.
Correct.
Correct. As long as it's not going against it, it's no one really cares.
Right. I will tell them, like, you know, the optimal play on this turn was this and this and this, you know.
Like we did in the game on the Commander Reunion.
It was absolutely.
Like, you actually could have taken them out 2 turns earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And we all realized, oh yeah, it was there. I didn't even realize that. But I don't mind when I'm given the, can I walk it back and tell you what I would have done?
Yeah.
That's fine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't mind that. But there's also, it's a Commander, there's a lot of details to remember.
For sure.
So I don't want to skip too far ahead. But you're not always going to remember everything.
No.
Sometimes there's like 80 cards sitting out.
We
cannot remember everything.
Well, even on top of that, both of us have owned in the past very complicated combo decks too.
You're like talking about my fourth point now.
I know. I mean, I felt like we were at a really easy transition into lessons learned. We started jumping and I'm like, okay, I'm going to jump a little bit more.
Each mistake is a lesson learned. It's our second point. It sounds cliche, but it's really as simple as that.
Yeah.
Every time you completely mess it up, you go, guess what? Not going to do that again.
That's right.
And so I would say the one item that we learned pretty recently, which is funny enough because we played this format for years,
mm-hmm.
is related to doubling season.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
Doubling season absolutely doubles the amount of counters when you have a planeswalker enter the battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
It does not double the number of counters that you would put on your planeswalker when you activate a loyalty ability.
That's right.
I have played that card wrong for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people play that card wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I have doubling season. A counter's getting put on this. I'm going to put double that number of counters.
Right.
That is not because it's because you're activating ability for that planeswalker, the loyalty ability. So I plan out plays differently now to make sure that I have the doubling season out first.
Yeah. If you play a planeswalker with a doubling season out and you get double the counters and you still don't have enough counters where you need to double on like the plus one on the planeswalker, there's something wrong with that planeswalker, quite honestly.
I mean, I play some suboptimal planeswalkers.
Some of them. But, I mean, you'll still be able to emblem them over just doing a plus one as soon as they come out. Just emblem them. It'll be fine. Get that doubling season out. Emblem all your walkers. Unless they get countered and then countered again. Andy. Letting me play my Oko Thief of Crowns.
You still won that game.
I know.
Calm yourself.
I did because because I complained enough where everyone left me alone for long enough.
You can't ultimate Dovin Grand Arbiter the turn it comes out.
No.
With the doubling season. No, it comes in at 3, so it doubled to 6, and it pluses to 1, and it's a -7. But it's not a very good alter. But I play that Planeswalker. I just really like Dovin Grand Arbiter.
I can say the same for the 2 loyalty Kiora. Has a -5 emblem.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So,
yeah, that was something we learned very recently, or at least I should say I learned very recently about doubling season when playing my Rolesque deck.
Yes. So every mistake, like we said, is a lesson learned. I also have mistakenly built a deck with far too many things to remember, and it was a nightmare. And I'm going to consider that a lesson learned.
Okay.
I do not play Astrid the Masked anymore. Okay. That deck is far too much work. It's just you put, you know, an aura on this land, and then you put one on this land, and then you put one on this land, and then you play 16 enchantments, and then you plus her and you untap everything, and then you don't remember that you've got 700 mana and what colors they're in. And it's just too much. It's too much. And then you're playing cards in that deck to keep you alive longer that just make the game not fun for other people. So I was playing like Energy Flux, which creates the requirement to, I believe it's you pay one, it's either you pay one or you pay two. Your opponents have to at their upkeep for each enchantment or they sacrifice it. And then that game won either in an infinite combo with the Chain Veil, or you just had 9 million enchantments out.
Right.
And so I made the mistake of playing that card, or playing that deck. So I don't play decks that require that, and I feel like I was going to get into a trap if I went for another deck that just plays enchantments.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, I mean, if I think that deck could be described as like a kind of a prison deck. You know, I played a lot of those prison cards, not allowing your opponents to swing at you and win, and then, you know, you build up the board state and then you win at the end. But yeah, it's a long game. It's a control strategy. But yeah, it takes a long time for your turns. I know my Shirei deck, I don't pull it out all the time because I make everyone's turn way longer. But yeah, I mean, I can say that, like, I haven't built a Prime Speaker Vanifer deck because of reasons like that. Like pod decks where you need to know your deck like the back of your hand if it's a toolbox deck.
I took apart Momir Vig's Simic Visionary. Momir Vig and Prime Speaker Zagana both do something similar, and Momir Vig just tutors, and then it has a bunch of permanents that you return an elf or you return a this, and I took that apart because, one, it was far too competitive. I found a stock list because I was trying to figure out how to play this type of deck. It's too much work. And no one wants to watch you play for 15 minutes on one turn.
Right. And we were prepping decks, competitive decks, for it was Magic Fest Detroit, I believe. This was 2 years ago, not 1 year ago. Last summer. This summer we're currently in. It was last year's summer. You're right.
Yes.
Yeah. And I know you put together Momir for that. And I think I had Kess at the time.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. Which is also complicated, you know, but my original combo deck, Sidisi, was so complicated that I literally had to goldfish the combo I probably put a total of 5 hours into goldfishing that deck to make sure that I knew how to do the combo. Because when I didn't know how to do the combo, I would take 30 minutes to take my turn and not win.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Speaking of that Momir Vig deck, it's been a minute. I cannot find it.
Still?
I have sorted every fat pack that I have. So Coil gave me a bunch of 4-row boxes. And I sorted all of them. And I cannot find that I have the promo Momir Vig. I've got Painter's Servant. I've got, because I was caring about making all of my cards green so that I could tutor and draw and making them blue and green, you know, whatever color I needed at the time. And I can't find my Painter Servant. I can't find the Momir Vig. It has got to just be in a box in a spot I haven't looked yet. And I'm really sad because, and I don't know what Painter Servant costs anymore, but I remember it was really expensive when I went to first get it because it was just unbanned.
Yeah.
And you don't see Painter Servant, so it was totally a fair unban. But I need to find that deck.
Yeah, I it's probably in the exact same location as the remaining of the precon of my Otrimi deck that I still cannot find.
Oh.
It's somewhere because you gave it to me.
Yeah.
And I built Otrimi and I took the cards out I needed to. Can't find the rest of it. So
if you have a problem like we do. Yeah, so those are the lessons learned that I have played. And I guess one more was I recently played against a game with that had Odric. Is it Lunark Marshall, the one that gives all the
keywords?
Yeah, and I just it's hard because now you have to remember what keywords they have. And we were playing over webcam, and so the goad enchantments that give an ability and make it so that you can't attack someone were being played on creatures on the side of the board where the Odric was. So they had to remember the enchantments on one person's playmat.
Okay. Yeah.
And then their own stuff. And I thought I had it, but I forgot they had menace. And so I died because I took commander damage because I didn't have two blockers. I thought I was fine. I said, oh, I have a flyer. Shoot. They have menace and they're going to give it to every single person.
Yep.
And it's not going to be great. So
yeah. Odric, lesson learned. Destroy on sight.
I didn't have removal. I was playing Slimefoot and I have it. I just didn't have it in hand.
Right. Right.
So.
So I guess the next bullet point I wanted to talk about is Commander is a difficult format. It's got literally the largest card pool in Magic.
You are bound to misplay.
You're bound to not know half of the cards in your opponent's deck.
Yeah. So many cards. There's so many cards you know, you're never going to know every card that's being played against you. And if you do, I applaud you. But yeah. I think I see a new card probably every single time we play.
Pretty much.
And then if you play with people like Brian, he plays cards that are only in Japanese.
That's right.
So not only do you not know the card, it's not even written in English, so you have to look it up. And then when you're playing against a Japanese card that has multiple different arts, and you may have sometimes you recognize a print. A cultivate's a cultivate. I've seen that hand many times.
It's very true.
You just recognize it. So I go, oh, that's a cultivate. I'm good to go. But if they play something that is just off the wall, I feel like I feel that way when I play against cards or commanders. What's the wall commander? Bant. Bant wall.
Arcades.
Arcades. When I play against the Arcades deck, I don't remember what any of your 0/6s do. I just don't. I don't. But I know that they're going to wreck me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's 100% true.
And I couldn't name a single wall other than like Wall of Blossoms or Wall of Omens. But I know they're going to they're gonna come get me.
That's right. And I feel the same way when I play my She-Ray deck. You know, can you name every black creature that has one power or less? So there's a ton of them.
I can't name any of the cards in your deck, except there's that one that, is there a rabbit on it? Is it a rabbit or a robot? I know are very different, rabbits and robots.
Yeah, Mindless Automaton.
Is that the one that makes you draw a card?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. That's the only reason I know it, is because if you ever tutor, you usually grab that
card. I always get that card so good in She-Ray.
Yeah, there's so many cards. And I would say another item that's part of misplays is just this threat assessment.
Yeah.
Because you don't know every card, you don't always know which one's going to be the nastiest. And if you're playing a card that seems not so bad, Mindless Automaton, it's going to, when it dies, you draw, or
it's when I remove two +1/+1 counters, but it dies in the process.
It dies in the process. That. But when She-Ray's out, it just brings it back. That is usually a number one threat. That card is terrible.
Yeah.
But in She-Ray, with She-Ray out, that card is
bonkers.
Too good.
Yeah.
So threat assessment, you know, and it's like you're playing against somebody who did zero things for five turns, and all of a sudden they are steamrolling, and you can't even stop them.
Right. So it's important, I guess, if we kind of a little bit go back to that the first bullet point, the social format. Let's say you're playing with a group of your friends, but only two of them, and you have one person that is brand new to the group, and you know, they don't know everyone's decks that are in the group, so they don't really know what things are. But you know, Andy you know, casts Conflux from his Jota deck, and I turn to our friend that is joining us for the first time and go, hey, you have blue, you should counter that right now.
Yeah, because we're all going to lose if you allow this card to resolve.
We know what happens. You don't want to see what happens. So yeah, so part of the social format there, you know, you have to be careful about that too. You know, you don't want to give away all the information about someone, how exactly to stop it. But you know, it helps even with like trying to get someone to not swing at you or something, or you know, the assessment of the board.
You know what's funny is when we were playing at that, this brings up a good point because you said something that made me think about politics, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm, trying to make an alliance. Mm-hmm. When we were playing at the Commander reunion weekend, when Austin came back in from Commander 99 and said, oh, that was a great game, check them out later. He goes, maybe one day you can play with them, mm-hmm, and it won't be two on one. Because at one point, neither of us were going to win a game, and I remember this, and I discarded part of an infinite combo. And Coyle goes, well, I know Andy discarded it because he didn't want to play it.
Right.
And I had my dual caster mage in hand. And so Coyle and I worked together. Mm-hmm. And so in some cases, it's great.
Yeah.
But Coyle knew that if I did it, I was winning. Mm-hmm. But it was fun on stream.
It was if Andy didn't win, the player we were playing with next turn was going to win. So it's like, yeah, let's try to do something.
Let's see why if we not? Can do something yeah. about it. And we didn't know if we were going to have it. And then it did end up coming together. So that was cool.
It was on the top of your deck miraculously.
Yeah, I couldn't even believe I drew it. Mm. But.
Like literally keyword miracle. No, it wasn't literally keyword miracle, but it might as well have been.
The other item is that item.
Item.
Where am I at work? The next item on our agenda is.
Mm-hmm. The next item.
I'm going to provide you meeting minutes.
Can you go to the next slide on the PowerPoint, please, Andy?
I'm sorry. Your Teams meeting dropped.
How are you talking to me then?
Andy, are you there? I think Andy dropped. Andy, are you still there? Are you on mute? Are you on mute? And then you hear me get back in.
Sorry, I was on mute. I was talking for the past 20 minutes. Man, really, I was taking a nap, but I'm not going to tell you guys that.
No, I actually just hung up and went and got food. Yeah. Oh, my call dropped. I can't figure out how to get back on.
Oops.
I would say it's all even harder to play this format, which is, and it's not an easy format. Some people say it's easy. I disagree. It's a very difficult
it's
format
not
to
easy.
Play. It's even harder now that we're playing online, mm-hmm, and you're looking at little screens and you're trying to make sure that you understand what all the cards are that you haven't seen before. Spell Table has made it really easy because it reads the cards.
Yep.
And so you can double click and you can see what the actual card does. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't read it, you can actually just type it in. It gives you the exact card. But some cards are just extremely difficult to play online. I know we've covered this before. We've already talked about cards that are just too difficult to play online, like Gonti, Lord of Luxury. You played a card recently that you didn't even realize it was going to, and you're like, oh, shoot, you guys have to exile the top card of your library.
Yeah,
what it is.
It's a mutate card. Can't take a mutate card out of mutate deck.
You need to leave it in there. Mm-hmm. But we were playing and you said, well, I guess exile them face down and I'm supposed to be able to cast them, but at this point I actually don't care. I just want to be able to mutate
yep.
to get the other mutate abilities.
Yep.
So it's, I think it's even more difficult to play the format now that we're all playing online. And then sometimes you just don't see the line that someone else has to just take you out.
Right.
Your gears are not turning as fast as someone else's are. I look at my board all the time and I won. Oh, it was with my Lysolda deck, mm-hmm, just a couple of weeks ago. We were playing and it was turn four. It was turn four and I just drew the one card I needed, and it's a combo deck. Mm-hmm. I knew it was. And winning on turn four, if it was a 10-minute game, you just move on. You just play another game. And I go, and I just showed. I played my land and I said, I have these two cards. Does anyone have a counterspell? Mm-hmm. If you do, great, but everyone was tapped out.
Right.
But I had to ask. Mm-hmm. And they said, nope, good game. Let's go to the next game. But sometimes you just don't think about somebody winning that early.
Right.
But we were playing a game where I
you didn't intend to. You didn't tutor for it.
No. That's the deck where it's super inconsistent.
Right.
Sometimes you win on four. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you don't win even by turn 10.
Right.
So.
No, it makes sense. Yeah. I mean, again, you know, I mentioned it before. Largest card pool of any format in Magic. When it comes to standard, if you look at it like a standard professional player or something, even if you're not, even if you have just some wits about you, you see a mono red player that's played a hasty creature every turn for the first three turns. Or multiple hasty creatures every turn for the first three turns. Then all of a sudden on turn four, they're swinging with all their mana up. What do they have in their hand? when you're talking about Commander, it could be a million different cards. In Standard, it's Embercleave. They have Embercleave in hand. There is no other card they have in their hand but Embercleave.
I love my Embercleave.
I mean, it's a good card, but I'm saying in the Standard format, it's very obvious because there is the limited card pool where in EDH, all you can do is look at, oh, they're in four colors, so I don't have to worry about a red card. And yeah. That's about it. That's yeah. I don't have to worry about Power 9.
I'm going to get you with a Embercleave one day. I don't have it in a Commander deck, but now I'm going to get you.
I'm going to put it in Zergo.
It would work in Zergo.
Another way to give him Double Strike.
And that gives Double Strike and Trample.
Double Strike and Trample, which is exactly what Teamer Battle Rage does.
And it could cost the exact same amount as Teamer Battle Rage. Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in danger. And then the last point is some decks are just harder to play than others.
Yeah.
So I know I mentioned my Ester deck. Just a really different type of deck. It did play some prison style cards. I removed a lot of those. I wasn't having fun playing it, and I was recognizing that everybody else was miserable. So I took out, I played, it was the first time I ever tried to play a Stacks deck. This is not my style.
Wasn't full stacks though. You didn't have like smoke stacks or anything in it.
I had smoke stacks.
Oh, in the original?
And stasis and winter orb. And it was
just full on stacks.
It was full on stacks. Okay. And it didn't matter to me because Estrid untapped things right. for me. So I didn't care about my lands tapped or not untapping. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then I said, nope, this is terrible. So I took those out and then I just made it Pillow Fort.
Right.
And then I said, well, I'm not actually doing anything. Mm-hmm. I'm just setting up for 14 turns.
Mm-hmm.
And then not getting swung at.
That's what happens.
Or someone else just combos off. And I'm not running counter spells really in that deck.
Right.
So I stopped playing that deck because it wasn't fun. And it took too long.
Right.
I like playing Commander games that take an hour.
Because
mm-hmm. then you can play like three of them.
Sure.
And if they take a half hour, great. But combos aren't always easy. And if you're playing combos like Coil mentioned, mm-hmm. Some decks are harder to play than others.
Right.
Kess, I built a Kess deck once and I built a version that said, oh, this deck's really strong. And so I tried to play it at a Commander League and I looked at it and I go, I don't even know what I'm doing. I looked up everything that I was supposed to look up and I did all the research and I goldfished and I go, this is not me.
Yeah.
I don't like this. I had like 16 cards in my graveyard. I had,
God, that's the dream.
I had like flashback. I had all these things available, and I was like, I don't actually know what I'm supposed to do at this point because I don't see like the two cards I remember I need to have in my hand. Mm-hmm. So I just said, I guess I swing with Kess. And I was like swinging with Kess. Mm-hmm. And I said, this is not for me. I need to play more fun decks. So
I mean, Kess has flying. The alternate win condition in Consultation Kess is Commander damage with Kess. you either draw out your deck or you win with Commander damage. But that did actually remind me 2 years ago at Magic Fest Detroit. I think it was not GP Magic Detroit. Fest. Yeah, it was GP Detroit. I remember you sat down in a Commander pod and everyone was playing really strong decks. And I had my Nekusar deck built at the time. And you just turned to me and says, can I play your Nekusar deck? I'm like, sure. And I didn't think about it. I had like 10 tutors in that deck. And you need to know what you need to go find.
And I Coil stood behind me the whole game. Didn't say anything. Right. So he's watching, you know. So all my gears are turning. And mm-hmm. I go, I play this, and mm-hmm. I don't know whatever it was, and I'm looking through the deck, and I go, I mean, I know what all these cards do,
mm-hmm.
but I have zero idea which one needs to be in my hand right now.
You grabbed a Rhystic Study into a Consecrated Sphinx, Andy. You tutored for a Rhystic Study.
Is that what I grabbed?
Into a Consecrated
Sphinx.
Okay, so
Sphinx. That couldn't be more on brand, though, right. for what I do, but I think the worst part was that I was playing against a Rhystic Study Tassigar deck.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, let's just be friends.
Yeah.
You draw, and then I'm going to draw.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to draw together.
The thing about Tassigar, if you don't know, the thing that holds him back, the thing that holds him back is having to get cards out of his graveyard. So if he has all the cards in his hand already, he's going to win.
Yeah, and it did.
He did win.
But I had fun because I drew like 30 cards. I mean, Nekusar does that naturally, but I don't think I cast Nekusar.
No.
I don't even know what I was doing. I said, I should have just played my Locust Guide. I don't know. I should have. Yeah. But the problem there was that was when there was no base established trying to establish a power level.
Correct.
And you would sit down at a table that was hyper competitive mm-hmm. with an upgraded pre-con level deck.
Mm-hmm.
And so after that, that was the last time that we played in those pods. And mm-hmm. now that they have Command Fest and they've been doing the Command Zone at GPs or at Magic Fest, it's been much different.
Yeah, it's been awesome. But yeah, I mean, in this instance of some decks are harder to play than others, you know, if you don't, you need to know your deck. You got to know your deck.
I was going to tweet this, but I didn't. How many times do you need to play your deck to know your deck?
I still don't know most of my decks that I play like 100%.
Honestly.
The problem is that I rework decks so much and I tune them like a little bit.
Do you do it too often? Do you think you tune them too much?
As soon as I see a card and went, that was trash, I take it out. So yes. Yeah, I don't give it enough of a try.
Do you ever think that when you look at EDHREC and you look at their standard build and then you look at yours and it's completely off, but it's not based on a competitive deck or something that you saw online, you go, am I the one doing it wrong? Or have I really figured this deck out? I feel like I'm starting to figure things out. And when I look at my Locust God deck or my Noyandar deck, they are so far off mm-hmm. the beaten path. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm playing like the wheels in Locust God. I play this, but
yep.
I think some decks are just harder to play than others.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that just boils down to some decks are just difficult. So those are some of our misplays. Some of the things that we think that you can do or that you will find is that you'll make mistakes.
Just remember to learn from your mistakes. You got to learn from your mistakes. Don't make the same mistake over. Untap, upkeep, draw.
And don't pay the one for my Rhystic Study.
Always pay the one. Always pay the two.
No, don't pay the two for my Smothering Tide either.
Never pay the four.
Let them draw for Mystic Remora.
You got to let them draw. Sorry.
Just let them draw. Or just don't play your non-creature spells until their cumulative upkeep's too much. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you really need to ponder, then you guess you got to ponder it.
Yeah. But... just ponder the decision before you cast the ponder. That's
so,
all.
So tell us about your misplays. We want to hear from you. Tweet at us or send us an email. We want to know what you've learned through gameplay and what you've learned by watching videos or listening to podcasts like this about misplays. And that leads us to Commander of the Week, which is a little different than normal because we've not had a themed deck.
Yeah, this is actually my first theme deck I've ever built, ever, ever, ever. I am a super huge, super huge, super huge Star Wars nerd. Don't do that. Too close to the microphone. You told me to eat the microphone, Ryan.
Oh, okay. I think he's told us that before.
He has multiple times.
You need to
times.
Be very close to the microphone.
That's right. So I built a deck helmed by Zergo Helm Smasher. So Zergo Helm Smasher is representing in the Separatist Army. So this is a clone army, Separatist Army deck. And Zergo is at the helm. Zergo is representing General Grievous. And if you don't know who General Grievous is, you need to go watch episode 3 of Star Wars. And you need to go watch the entire animated series of Clone Wars for both Cartoon Network and Disney. They're amazing. And General Grievous is best character it's ever been in the Disney universe at me. So with him at the helm, this deck, every single non-land card in this deck does have something to do with either the Separatist Army or with Zergo Helm Smasher. Maybe it has to do with the dark side because, you know, we play anger and hatred in the deck. Not only are they super good in this Voltron-y slash artifact mirror matters deck, but also anger and hatred are the roots for the Sith. So, you know, alongside this anger and hatred, we're going to actually play some Sith. So I decided to represent Emperor Palpatine, Count Dooku, and Asajj Ventress as Vona, Butcher of Magan. So Vona, Butcher of Magan is my representative of Count Dooku. So he is Orzhov, so he kind of lacks the aggression of red, which Count Dooku does tend to lack aggression and be more, you know, calculated, if you will. And Vona is all about, you know, vigilance, lifelink, and destroying stuff by paying life. So very dark side type of stuff. My pick for Asajj Ventress is Sabo Tavok. So this is a very old legendary creature. So for five black and a red.
Those are words that you just said.
Tsavo Tavak. So for five black and a red, you get a 7/4 first strike protection from legendary creatures that you can pay black and tap it and destroy target legendary creature. It can't be regenerated. Very on flavor for the assassin that is Asajj Ventress. And I was very happy when I found that card. And finally, my Palpatine is Tariel, Reckoner of Souls. So this is 4 white, black, red. You get a Flying Vigilance 4/7 that you can tap and choose a creature card at random from target opponent's graveyard. Put that card onto the battlefield under your control. Hey, remember when you watched that last Star Wars movie and you saw Emperor Palpatine come back from the dead? Yeah, he can do that.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it yet, sorry. So outside of that, I play a ton of Mir that are representing the normal battle droids. I am playing cards like Mobile Fort to represent some of the troop carriers that they have. The on flavor cards that we have specifically for General Grievous, we have Single Combat, which is a sorcery. It says
We have.
It's just it's me, myself, and I.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. So it's Single Combat. So this is a sorcery that says each player chooses a creature or planeswalker they control, then sacrifices the rest. Players can't cast creature or planeswalker spells until the end of my next turn. So this makes it so it's one on one. General Grievous versus Obi-Wan Kenobi. Let's go. So we also are playing Ashnod's Transmogrant, which is a 1-mana artifact that says tap it, sacrifice it, put a +1/+1 counter on target non-artifact creature. That creature becomes an artifact creature permanently. So that's very on flavor of when General Grievous actually became the cyborg assassin that he is, cyborg assassin general, sorry, that he is today. We are playing Gonti's Aetherheart in here, which actually does have some pretty good synergy. So Gonti's Aetherheart is a 6 CMC legendary artifact. This says when Gonti's Aetherheart or another artifact enters the battlefield, under your control, you get 2 energy, and then you can pay 8 energy and exile it to take an extra turn. So Gonti's Aetherheart representing actually the last biological piece other than General Grievous's eyes and brain that are left in his droid body. And to go along with Gonti's Aetherheart, we obviously are going to play the card Burn From Within, which is an X red that says Burn From Within deals X damage to target creature or player. If a creature is dealt damage this way, it loses indestructible until end of turn. If that creature would die this turn, exile it instead. So Burn From Within representing Obi-Wan's eventual beating of General Grievous by shooting a laser into his heart, and it burned his heart.
Pew pew.
Pew pew. Down goes Grievous, but not in this deck. So
Grievous's Aetherheart.
I should get altars for everything. It would be so cool. So we play all of the swords in here, every single sword that exists to represent all of the lightsabers that General Grievous has stolen from all of the Jedi that he has murdered in the past. We play an artifact called the Hive, which is a 5 CMC artifact where you can pay 5 and tap it to put a 1/1 insect artifact creature token with flying onto the battlefield.
Is that a droid?
Named Wasp. It's actually not. So I couldn't find a good thing to create just insect tokens, but have it be an artifact. So this represents Geonosia, which is the planet that built all of the droids, and the Geonosians are actually like flying insect creatures. I'm sorry,
Ryan wants to say,
yeah, you know what, Ryan, for you I'm gonna see if you understand this reference. So there is one card, a creature that I represented here that is super super good for the synergy of the Voltron for the equipment style, but I found a Star Wars character that could represent him. So SRAM Senior Artificer is in the deck, 1 and a white. Whenever you cast an aura, equipment, or vehicle spell, draw a card. I do play vehicles in here as well to help with this. So this is Poggle the Lesser. Poggle the Lesser is actually the leader of the Geonosians and the head architect of the original Death Star.
Are the vehicles the pod racing?
Absolutely not. So we play Consulate Dreadnought and we play Sky Sovereign Console Flagship as the large space vessels, the multiple space vessels that General Grievous has been in. Turns out whenever he's in one, it tends to get destroyed, so we have to play multiple of them. Daredevil Dragster is representing his getaway vehicle, as well as we have Smuggler's Copter representing his escape pod. Whisper Silk Cloak, you know, he's always cloaked and he is a slippery guy. We do play Narrow Escape for 2 and a white. Grievous is always able to get away from a battle that he can't win, and Narrow Escape for 2 and a white says return target creature you control to its owner's hand and you gain 4 life. So again, every single card besides the lands are on flavor for this Separatist army deck. Super excited. And shout out to Rachel Kester, who did the alternate artwork of my Zergo Helm Smasher as General Grievous. You can check her out at on Bay Paint Studios. She streams on Twitch. I think she just did a My Hero Academia alter of Angel's Grace as... I just started watching My Hero Academia. I don't know all the names of the guys yet. He's a fire guy. He's like the second most powerful hero in the world, and he does fire stuff.
He does the fire stuff.
If you know my hero.
I watched her when she was doing your altar, and that was really cool watching that on Twitch.
She's awesome. She's fairly new to the streaming game. This is her first year doing it. Definitely support her if you're looking for an altar. I highly recommend it. I highly recommend her. She does like to do a lot of horse artwork. So if you're looking to get like an altar on your new unicorn or your new horses or something,
or
for your horse
make
deck,
something into a horse.
Or if you honestly, and she does portraits too. So if you're looking for portraits, you can go for that too.
Nice. Well, the link to this deck will be in the show notes below.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the end of our episode this week. And thank you everyone for listening. If you want to contact us, you can find us on Twitter at Guardian Pod. You can find me on Twitter directly at AT Flory.
You can find me on Twitter at Wormcoil Engine.
And then you can also reach out to us through email at guardianprojectpod@gmail.com. We'd like to hear from you. So if you're on Discord and you're also interested in joining the discussion, send us a message and we'd love to get you in there. Otherwise, we will see you guys next week.
Well, you'll hear us next week. I don't know if I'll see you. I'll see some of you. I'm just staring at Andy right now.
I'm going to get in my pod and I'm going to race away.
Yeah. Now that's pod racing.